From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. This story is called How I Drove to Work Yesterday. I drove a revolutionary vehicle, courtesy of General Motors, with a man who thinks that millions of us may drive cars like it 10 or 20 years from now.
We're trying to help our customers understand that it's a real car, that it has some benefits beyond what a conventional car has, and I'll let you judge that when you drive it.
Okay.
And that if we can make this at a cost that's no more than today's cars and trucks, make it last as long as your car or truck today, you can be driving every day with zero emissions, nothing but water, and you can be using energy that comes from a wide range of sources and get us off our addiction to oil.
That's Larry Burns, GM's vice president for R&D. Burns believes he is planning for the next automotive revolution. Skeptics think he's dreaming, and we'll hear from one of them in a moment. The vehicle that I drove yesterday was not a dream, but rather a small SUV, a white Chevy Equinox, that is powered by a hydrogen fuel cell engine. Except for the drawings of molecules on the doors, it looks like an anonymous, run-of-the-mill GM vehicle. It is anything but.
Here's where the water comes out of the vehicle.
Instead of an exhaust.
Instead of an exhaust system, you're just simply venting pure water vapor.
Water drips out of.
It's so pure you can drink it. And it's actually less water.
I'll pass on that.
It's less water than you actually create when you're running a gasoline engine car.
Okay.
But that's why we can call this a zero emission vehicle. Now what we've done is
this is General Motors' fourth generation fuel cell car. It has an electric motor, which has no fuel injection, no pistons, no transmission, no motor oil. It is powered by a fuel cell. The fuel cell converts hydrogen gas into energy.
And to fill up the tank, assuming we're at a hydrogen filling station, you pull up and where's the...
You would fill up using the same concept as you would with gasoline. You would pull into a pump. In this case, the pump would be providing hydrogen at high pressure.
Here on the side of the car, where we'd normally expect to put the nozzle, it looks like something the size of a nozzle on a garden hose.
Robert, I think that's the right analogy.
Larry Burns is a believer. Where is the hydrogen coming from? Well, it would come mostly from natural gas, he says, and some would come from water. But is the whole process really cleaner and cheaper than conventional cars?
We have a technique we call well-to-wheel studies. So it's an assessment of the entire life cycle of creating the energy, getting it to the vehicle, putting it in the tank, and driving the vehicle. Today, there's 50 million tons of hydrogen being produced worldwide. Now, to put that in perspective, if all of that that's currently being produced in the world was used in fuel cell vehicles, you could fuel 200 million vehicles a year. Most of that hydrogen is made from natural gas. So again, if you want to get started, that's the way to get started. You reduce carbon dioxide by 60% using natural gas to create hydrogen and hydrogen put into this vehicle.
Larry Burns and GM have the help of some big-time boosters who are bullish on hydrogen fuel cells.
We happen to believe that fuel cells are the wave of the future. That fuel cells offer incredible opportunity.
But there are skeptics who think that President Bush, General Motors, and Larry Burns are being wildly unrealistic. One of them is Joseph Rome, who worked in the Department of Energy during the Clinton administration and wrote the book The Hype About Hydrogen. He now writes the blog climateprogress.org. What are we missing here? What's wrong with the fuel cell idea for the automobile?
Well, a few things. The cars are wildly expensive. I think hydrogen is a diffuse gas that is hard to store on board. It's hard to move around the country, and it's pretty expensive. And, of course, where are you going to get the fuel? There aren't lots of hydrogen fueling stations anywhere.
Let's take that question. 20 years ago, if you told me there'd be stores all over the country selling high-priced coffee at three times the price of a diner with only biscotti to eat, I'd say that's nuts. Marketing, it seems Americans can do.
Sure, on paper it's a good idea. The problem is that it costs a lot of money to build a hydrogen fueling station. The one outside Washington, D.C. cost about $2 million. And we have 180,000 gasoline stations. People know there's going to be a station nearby and competition keeps the price fair. I think it's going to be a long time before we see that amount of hydrogen fueling stations.
Does the macro equation of energy, if you had enough fueling stations and if you had a safe car, and if you had a car that we could afford, does it check out? If you could convert the hydrogen from either methane or from water, for that matter, into hydrogen, would it in fact be more energy efficient for the country to have millions of cars using that fuel?
Well, I tend to think not. You know, making hydrogen from natural gas doesn't solve your fossil fuel global warming problem. You still end up with greenhouse gas, carbon dioxide. Making it from water using renewable sources isn't a bad idea, but that uses a lot of energy. So at the end of the day, you actually only end up with like a quarter of the original energy in that renewable power.
Well, for some answers to Joseph Rome's objections and a test drive of the hydrogen fuel cell Chevy Equinox, we go back to my house yesterday morning in suburban Northern Virginia. Well, I'm ready to drive.
That's great.
The sound of my turning the car on, I'm assured, will be very disappointing.
Well, it is a pretty quiet car.
That's it. It's on. Okay. And, quiet or not, it's off to Interstate 95. Well, I've got to say, if I hadn't known what I'm driving here, I wouldn't really know that I'm driving something other than an ordinary SUV. Although the only thing that feels very different to me is the touch of the brakes.
Actually, if you drive hybrid vehicles, you'll get the same sensation in your brakes because we've got the brake system tied in with the electric generating system.
Got to accelerate a bit here to merge into the highway, and it's accelerating very well. Very faint whine to the engine. It's very quiet, but I just hear that when I'm accelerating.
Yeah, the one sound you do pick up are the compressors that are compressing the hydrogen.
So with a 0% interest loan, a monthly payment of about $10,000 for 5 years, I could have the car.
Well, I wish I could give you this one, Robert, but our goal, and it's really right on my own personal performance objectives, is to create a design for this vehicle so that it costs no more than a conventional automobile. And that's important because if this car isn't widely affordable, we won't sell a lot of them. If we don't sell a lot of them, we're not going to address the addiction to oil and the CO2 concerns that we all have. So if fuel cells are only a niche technology, then we failed.
You know, we've got all kinds of skeptical listeners right now saying, you know, you're trying to curry favor with the government to show you're doing something at GM. If you'd been serious about this, we'd be driving this car, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
Well, first of all, if this is all that we were doing was to try to make a statement on public policy, we've invested $1 billion to date in the development of this technology. So that's a pretty expensive way to make a statement. We set out back in the late 1990s on a mission to really get this proven for high-volume application. I think we've made dramatic progress. Over the last 7 years, for example, we've proven out the range. We just drove a fuel cell vehicle a couple months ago, 300 miles on a single tank of hydrogen. We know it's safe. So, would we like to have them on the market in high volume today right now? We certainly would. But are we on a path to get there? As soon as possible, that's what we're working to do.
Larry Burns talks about hitting the market in a small way in 2011. I pulled into work, deftly avoiding the construction fence that NPR has erected in front of the building.
Do I dare?
I don't want to put a
thing
in.
If I told you how much this paint system costs, Robert, I'm sure you'd make sure you miss this fence.
You like this car. You like this
I
car.
I love this car. This is my baby.
Will this baby grow up and reach maturity? Well, a lot of other people are betting on hybrids instead, and GM belatedly is getting active there. But you can't ignore the infectious look in Larry Burns' eye. At great cost, he has made this very extraordinary car pass for something ordinary. The baby is taking its first steps. This is All Things Considered from NPR News.